Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior in all of his riches. Amen. You might have noticed that for a couple months now we've been receiving free bread. One of our former VBS parents has been delivering bread from a local bakery. It's bread that's reached its expiration point, so they just want to give it away. And she would drop it off here regularly at our church, and we put it into our freezer in the utility room, and you're free to take some if you ever want to. Recently, she told me she couldn't do the route anymore, and so she asked me if I would take them. So I thought about it for a week or two. I prayed about it. And last Monday, I went out on my first bread delivery into the community. And I had to figure out where to go. So I went down to the bakery, and they have these trays full of bread loaded up, all different kinds, behind the bakery, and you're supposed to pick it up there, and then you go and you give it away. So the first place I went was the homeless shelter. I went to the place in St. Charles called the Lazarus House, and I met with the executive director there. And you know what she told me? She said, "We're swimming in bread." She says, "We have so much bread, we don't know what to do with it. Panera gives it away, the local bakery gives it away, and there's just bread everywhere." She said, "If we could only send this bread overseas to some countries that are really in need." And you know what I realized? We have no idea what a famine is like. We have no sense of what it means to have God take it all away, to be down to rock bottom, to have just a handful be all that is left between you and death. And God could take it all away. With just a word, he could take it all away from us. In fact, that's what he did to Israel in the days of Elijah. A king had taken the throne, and his name was Ahab, and he had married a queen named Jezebel, who came from a southern country called Phoenicia. And in Phoenicia, they had their own god. His name was Baal, B-A-A-L, which means the Lord of the earth. And they thought he was the provider of all prosperity, all earthly blessings, rain and good seasons and family. And so he brought in the queen, and with her brought in Baal, set up a temple and an altar to this god, and a new god was lifted up in Israel. Well, the true God decided to challenge Baal. And he sent Elijah to the king and said, "For these years there will be neither rain nor dew on the ground until Elijah says so." And so a famine set in on all the land, to the point where Elijah was driven out into the desert, alone, to drink from a brook there by the Jordan until he watched the brook dry up before his very eyes. And that's where we find him as the word of the Lord comes to him in 1 Kings chapter 17. "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.' And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' So she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her whole household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This word of the Lord was also spoken for you today. What will be enough? Will it ever be enough? Elijah didn't even have a handful left. Think of what it was like to be Elijah. You are a prophet of the Lord. You've spoken the word faithfully to the people. And where do you find yourself? Where did it get you? Out into the desert where you're alone and you're watching this brook dry up before your very eyes. And then on top of that, God says, okay, now go to another land outside of Israel and a widow will provide for you. One of the lowest economic situations in all of that society was to be a widow. What would you say? Will it be enough to sustain the ministry of God's word? Here we have one of the few prophets left in Israel. What's going to happen to the word of the Lord if Elijah dies? Just a handful and a promise. Will it be enough for Jesus as he looks on in the temple treasury and he sees the lines go through? The rich Pharisees coming through with their long robes, who receive the best greetings, the best seats in the marketplace, and they drop their bag of gold on the table, and it jingles as they hits the table. And then comes an old widow. A widow who doesn't have a husband to bring the offering for her, and all she has left is a handful. Just two copper coins is all she has left, and she drops them on the table. Will it be enough for Jesus? Will it be enough for our congregation? We look at our congregation, our budget situation, a tight budget, find ourselves a month behind on our mortgage. We've seen one lawnmower go up in flames. You see another one that Glenn Libby just got running yesterday again. And we don't find enough volunteers to even take care of all that needs to be done to maintain this property. We look at other churches and we see how they're doing fundraisers. Or they're having expensive advertising. Or they're having some kind of exciting gimmick. And they're growing. And we wonder, like Elijah, aren't we doing everything we can to be faithful to the word of the Lord? And here we are, feeling kind of alone in Batavia, watching the brook dry up before our very eyes. Will it be enough? Just a handful. Well, that's what Jesus wants. He takes it all away from us. Because he wants us, out of our poverty, to realize how his kingdom comes. That he reigns in a promise. That he rules over all things in his promises, not in how much we hold in our hands. And so he takes it all away from us. Our works, our offerings, everything we would think we would do to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And he says, a promise. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Not even the gates of hell can overcome what God is doing in the ministry of the word. It is not about money, it is about faith. And in that faith, God gives us a surplus so bountiful that we honestly cannot give it away fast enough. Places are in need of it, and we can't give it away fast enough. And yet this is what we need to be on delivery all the time. It is enough for the ministry of God's word. But what about you as individuals? Sure, God could sustain the church. That's important. He'll keep paying the pastor's salary. But what about you as individuals? Will it be enough for you? You come, you give your offering, you pray, and then you have to leave. And you're going back to real life with real bills, with real problems of your own to think about. Is it going to be enough for you? For individuals like the widow of Zarephath, there she sets out her very last bin of flour and her very last jar of oil. She sets them out. She puts out her finest cookware, which wasn't very much, and she tells her son to wait. She's going to go out and gather a few sticks, and they're going to prepare their last meal before she dies. She goes outside of the city to gather those sticks, and a stranger approaches. She recognizes something in this stranger that tells her he's from Israel, and he's a prophet. And he comes to her, and he asks her for a drink, and then he asks her for a piece of bread. Hear her, who's on her last limb. And a stranger comes up and asks her for everything she has. Will it be enough? Will it be enough for another widow as she comes to the temple and she has just the 2 coins in her hand and she's putting it into the temple treasury? She could have done anything she wanted with those last 2 coins. She could have spent it on food. But she brought it to the temple and she gave it to the Lord. And she left. We don't know what happens to her. For all we know, she left, she went home, and she starved to death. We don't know what happened to her. But she had given her whole livelihood to the Lord. Will it be enough to sustain her? Just a handful and a promise. And after all, that's all we really leave here with today. You go back to your own worries about jobs, about your health, about your economy, about your family. Imagine a Christian couple who has just gotten married. They decide to get married and they start a family. They have their first child and they realize it's important to set a budget. So they begin to set a budget and they categorize the things they're going to spend money on. They bring all the income in and then they begin to distribute it out. So they prioritize. First, you have the necessities of life. They have to pay the electric bill. They have to pay the mortgage. They have to pay the water bill. They have to pay the grocery bill. Those necessities of life. But there's still some left over. So they move on and they soon realize they need to invest for emergencies. So they start funds for insurance and for car maintenance and home maintenance, and still there's some left over. And they start planning for the future. So they invest in their children's education and in their own retirement. But still there's some left over. So then it falls into that jar of leftovers. The category of comforts that we all have in our budgets. The things we like to have but don't have to have. The restaurant bill, the new recliner, the vacation. But soon things take a turn for the worse. The husband loses his job. And now things are getting tight. They can't spend money like they used to be able to. And the Lord is squeezing things down tighter and tighter. He's cutting the budget, cutting the budget. The brook is drying up. And it's starting to squeeze into their comforts. As it begins to take away from them the things they like to have, what happened to that category called church offerings? And where is that going to go? And what's going to happen when the Lord comes to us and things are tight and he says to us, give me everything you have. Your last two mites. Give me your last bin of flour. Your last jar of oil. A stranger comes to us in need and he needs everything we have from us. We just can't bear it. And that's because we're sinful. And that's why the Lord must give us a promise. He can't just ask for our offerings. He can't just ask for our works unless he's given us a promise. A promise of Jesus Christ that this is not about money. It's about the Lord reaching into our heart with the riches of what Christ has done on the cross. That Christ, though he was rich, became poor. That through his poverty, we might become rich. And he finds just a handful in you. Just a handful in your tight schedules. In your tight budgets. And he takes those two mites and he turns it into something great. Something that outdoes all the other churches and all the other people, not because of the money, but because the Lord is working faith in your heart. He gives us nothing more than a handful and a promise. And the bin never runs dry. The jar never runs out. Jesus says that this widow has given more than all the rest. And he says, for you, it is enough. It is enough just to believe. That is all. A handful and a promise. So as I go out on my bread deliveries this week, I'm going to be thinking about this. How abundant is the flour and the bread that we're able to distribute to these communities? And yet as I go into the homeless shelters or into the nursing homes and I see these people who are living in poverty, I realize it is not as abundant as we think. Not the bread, but like Amos says, there shall be a famine not of bread or water, but of the word of God. And I see these people who are starving. And they're not in here, they're out there. And what can we do to reach out to them with just a handful and a promise and see the Lord prove himself worthy of trusting? In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise.